listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The completely redesigned ClevelandBrowns.com is coming to the internet, to an internet near you, in just 8 days. Brace yourself. It's going to be pretty exciting stuff when we get that thing launched. April 1st will be the launch of the new and improved ClevelandBrowns.com. Very happy to have with us right now from the Seattle Times, Bob Candota. And Bob, we want to talk with you, of course, about Paul McQuiston, the offensive guard, free agent that the Browns have signed. What are the Browns getting in McQuiston?
Well, they're getting a player who's dependable and reliable anyway. He started a lot of games for the Seahawks. I don't know that he was their best lineman at all. You know, he was sort of in a rotation at guard, at left guard, for a lot of the year with James Carpenter, and then he had to play left tackle when Russell Okung got hurt. So he was, he was a guy they could count on to do a lot of things. I think they really trusted him to sort of know what the offense was and all that kind of stuff. I think in terms of pure ability, I think they felt like there's probably they had some better guys, and you know, that's part of why as far as I know, they didn't try to re-sign him at all. They've got a couple of younger guys, that they like quite a bit, and they let both Paul McQuiston and Breno Giacomini kind of veterans who are making a lot more money to bring in these kind of younger guys who aren't making as much.
So Bob, it looks like this is the perfect free agent situation for McQuiston, that, you know, he's looking at the Seattle situation and they're probably bringing other people in, and he comes to a situation here where he's needed and he'll probably go right in at right guard and probably start at right guard. He has a great opportunity to play here.
Yeah, sounds like it. And I think he was sort of being forced to look elsewhere. So I'm sure at that point he wanted to do that. I know he spent a little bit of time with Cleveland in 2010,
right,
for a few weeks there. And I don't know if there's anybody left in the organization that was there then. I don't know if that had anything to do with anything, but at least he's sort of familiar with the city and things like that. It does sound like a good situation for him to move on there. And again, you know, the Seahawks' whole MO has been to kind of let everybody who's going to make a lot of money go, and they're really banking on a lot of their younger guys. But yeah, in McQuiston's case, you know, I think he played pretty creditably for him the last few years. You know, again, I don't know that he was probably the best lineman that they had, but he was certainly a real versatile guy that they were able to depend on to fill a lot of roles.
One of the things that speaks well about Bob McQuiston is the running game that the Seahawks have with Marshawn Lynch. How do you see that translating to the Browns with Ben Tate and the Kyle Shanahan zone blocking offense?
Yeah, you know, he's 2 points on that. The Seahawks also do a lot of zone blocking, so he'll be very familiar with that. So from that standpoint, he should be able to hit the ground running. The Seahawks were a much better run blocking team last year than pass blocking, and McQuiston, people would tell you, was much better at run blocking than pass blocking. So if that's sort of what they're looking for him there, then that makes sense. He struggled a little bit when he had to go play left tackle in place of Russell Okung. That was that midseason stretch when the Seahawks had some real issues with their offense and their offensive line, probably more than people on the outside would think. You know, Russell Wilson was sacked 44 times last year, which is pretty amazing total for a team that wins the Super Bowl. So McQuiston was sort of being forced to play out of position then, but to his credit, you know, he didn't complain about it, and, you know, they he was the guy they trusted to go do that. But guard is his natural spot, and the Seahawks, the running game wasn't as good last year, really, as it probably had been the previous year. And again, they had so many issues with their offensive line and kind of keeping it stable. McQuiston was one guy who never got hurt and was out there and started 14 games and played in all of them. You know, again, he was sort of in a rotation with James Carpenter, so he played about half the snaps generally when he was playing guard. When he played tackle, he had to play almost all the entire game.
So, Bob, now I would imagine people still celebrating that Super Bowl in Seattle, but everybody from outside in the NFL looks in on that Seattle model now. You're hearing so much about it, what they've been able to do with that roster, how they're able to keep it intact, how guys don't really want to leave. I mean, a guy like McQuiston leaves because it's the right thing to do, but a lot of guys that really are playing there, they want to remain and stay there because they really believe, like, this isn't a one-and-done situation, that they've got something out there that they can really continue to build on. Is that the feeling out there, that this is really a situation that they've got a pretty good run left in them?
Well, I think that's the hope. You know, free agency has been interesting for them, obviously. They've had to lose a lot of guys, you know, Golden Tate, and, you know, as I mentioned, too, you know, LaQuiston and Giacomini were two of their probably top six, anyway, offensive linemen last year. They lost each of them. Lost a couple of defensive linemen, you know, had to release Red Bryant, had to release Chris Clemens. Clint McDonald, a really underrated defensive tackle for him, you know, got signed away. So they have suffered some losses. You know, they're doing that because they know over the next year they're going to have to re-sign or extend Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, and Russell Wilson, and that's their whole plan. And they know that's going to cost them an awful lot of money. Each of those guys is probably going to want to be, especially Thomas and Sherman anyway, are probably going to want to be the highest paid at their position, and Wilson's going to want to be right up there. He's probably going to want to make more than whatever Colin Kaepernick ends up getting in the deal he's going to get here soon. So that's what the Seahawks are doing. So they've had to let some guys go. So, I mean, I think you're right in that guys would want to stay if they had the ability to. They just aren't able right now to allow everybody to stay. But they did re-sign Michael Bennett. They did re-sign Tony McDaniel, which they wanted to do. You know, Walter Thurman got away, too. He was a guy, I think if they'd have been able to keep Walter Thurman, I think they would have liked to. But that was sort of a decision they made there. But, you know, they're really going to be banking on their last couple of draft classes, especially the 2013 class, and hoping that a lot of guys who didn't play last year are going to be able to play next year.
Bob Candota from the Seattle Times covers the Seahawks, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Bob, how much stock can you put in attitude, that Paul McQuiston comes from a team that just won the Super Bowl, that he was part of that whole winning culture there that Pete Carroll has created, that organization has really put together, and he's a little piece of that, so to speak. Can that transfer, you think, somewhere else? Is he that kind of guy?
I don't know that transfers a whole lot, especially, I guess, for a position like the offensive line. You know, maybe with a quarterback or something where there's a real leadership component kind of built into the position. Maybe I'd buy that a little bit, but I don't really, for the most part, you know. I think it's more the organizations and top-down that really set those kinds of tones more than any, you know, you're talking 53 players and 61, including practice squad guys and all of that. But, you know, I'll be honest, I guess I don't know a ton about the Cleveland's offensive line to know exactly who all they're going to have there in 2014. But maybe if he comes in as one of the veteran guys and can set a little bit of that sort of thing there. You know, he was one of the more soft-spoken guys, I guess, on the offensive line. I wouldn't say he was regarded as one of the real leaders of that. You know, that probably would have been Max Unger or Russell Okung. Or even Giacomini, who just kind of fit their personalities a little bit more. So McQuiston was much more kind of the silent type. He just sort of went out there and did his job. But you know, in terms of, I guess what I think would be more relevant is if you're saying the Browns are going to go with a little bit more of a zone blocking thing, he should be very familiar with that, because that's definitely what the Seahawks are big believers in and have done an awful lot of.
Great, Bob. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us, my friend, and we'll talk down the line.
All right, thank you.
All right, he is Bob Candota, covers the Seahawks for the Seattle Times. What are you thinking, Jim?
Well, I'm thinking what I take away from it is he's a guy that plays every
Sunday. He's a guy that plays.
He plays every Sunday.
You got that? I think you're okay with
that.
Well,
I think here, yeah. I think, you know, I mean, that's a good start.
Yeah.
And he seems like a guy that's, the zone blocking thing. And I think the other thing is that, you know, a lot of guys when they go out to left, a lot of guys can look foolish when they go out to left tackle. You know, you know, that's not easy. That's a whole different beast playing even right tackle than left tackle, but certainly on the inside, you know, that's a difficult conversion to make. The fact that he can do it gives them flexibility, but it sounds like he's a guy that comes in and plays every week, and you can just, you put him in the lineup, he plays.
There's a reliability.
You don't come out of the stadium that day and saying, my God, did you watch McQuiston play? He was terrible. I think he just goes in there and he plays.
There's a reliability factor there that this team hasn't been able to count on consistently with the offensive line, with some of those positions, especially the interior positions, and I think in one form or another, that's hurt this team. Bad performance has been part of it, but also just physical ailments, just having those kinds of problems. I think if John Greco soldiers his way through, I think as time went on, LaValle became a liability for this club. I don't think that he really, especially in pass protection, I mean, especially if you look at the problems that Brandon Whedon was having, a lot of that interior rush was coming through that lane, that particular lane, and I think he suffered from that. I think the other thing to look at here, in listening to what Bob Candota said too, was that you have a guy who feels comfortable in a scheme that, look what it did for Marshawn Lynch. The zone blocking approach, even though that wasn't the staple of the Seahawks, it was enough of what they did for a guy to, okay, I've got this part down, and however the Kyle Shanahan version of it is, because they all vary a little bit from team to team, it's not identical to what Ben Tate did in Houston. It's obviously going to be very similar, if not identical, to what you had in Washington last year. But to look at that and then to bring this player in, this component in, with the versatility he has, with the smarts he brings, with that work ethic he has. And I think there's something to be said for coming over here with a Super Bowl ring, that at least he understands what that looks like in some way, shape, or form. Even if it's not vocal, there's a respect with that.
Oh, I think so. I think that, you know, there was a lot of that when Kruger came here last year, that he was coming off a team in the Ravens that had won the Super Bowl championship, and there's a know-how there. And I think automatically people lean towards guys who have been in big games and won those big games, and I think that will help. The other thing, you know, boy, that right side was in trouble last year on that Browns offensive line, especially early in the year when Schwartz was not 100%.
Right.
And LaValle, you know, was over there too. I mean, boy, it was amazing. I remember Norv Turner saying that they had a tough time competing because of the right side of the offensive line. The other indicator here, Vic, is that there are young offensive linemen on the way, you know, with those 10 picks.
Yeah, I think they're going to address that area at some point in the draft. Now, maybe this takes some urgency out of having to do that.
I agree.
Within even the first three picks, but I think it should be done. And I think what we're going to see, obviously we'll have to see it play out to see if it's actually going to happen, but I'm inclined to think that for each almost every one of these free agent signings, there is a parallel component. There is a match coming from the draft, so that you have that veteran guy in place
and a young guy,
and then
coming.
The younger guy. Because look at all the age groups here. They're, you're in the high 20s to 30 plus range. 30 with this guy, 32 with Dansby. You got guys who are 28 in this mix as well. So they all in Dante Whitner and Andrew Hawkins that they just brought in. So you're looking at some players. That are Dre, another guy in the late 20s range. They're out of that sweet spot of the so-called 22 to 27 sweet spot, because they want these guys to contribute now, but you also want to have younger guys who you're bringing along at the same positions.
Yeah, and of course they have so many picks that they can bring that in. So you're right. I think that they're, you know, you probably will see a safety at some point in the draft. You're definitely going to see a corner. You're probably going to see young offensive linemen come in here. You could even, you're going to see a young quarterback come in.
Right.
You're hopefully going to see another, you know, blistering, fast, good wide receiver come in here. So I think you're right. I think there are a lot of matches that have to be made. There are now a little bit more veteran, but there'll be younger players coming. And then you put it all together, hopefully, and it works.
All right. We've got much more coming up on this Football Monday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Vic Carucci, and it's usually Nathan Zagura, but it's Jim Donovan's filling in for Nathan today. Call us, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Tweet us at Browns_daily. And we've got Megan Rock in studio here also tweeting away. And we are going to have much more from you. We want to hear your thoughts. We'll share those. And we've got more to dive into from the NFL owners' meetings, what Ray Farmer was saying this morning to reporters. We'll analyze some of that, and we'll take a look at, again, some of the areas that this team needs to address going forward. It is Vic, it is Jim, and you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.